All right. Welcome back to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer here with my best friend, Kyle Dobis. Today is September 8th, Monday. This is episode, I believe, 5, right, of season 2.
Yeah, I want to say it was about 5.
Yeah, I think so.
Already.
According to my record, it is 5, yeah. Looking at my records of our gambling yep. men, it is week 5. I am not winless, 0-4, and all that. We're going to dive into our week in review and see how we did with this past week, and then go right into our fantasy competition and, you know, give you all a little bit of NFL feel with it being back for a pretty stout week 1 here. I'll kick it off with top 5 pick games of the week. I went 3-2. My 3 wins, I believe 2 of them belong to be staying in the actual top 5, which is the Buffalo Bills Baltimore Ravens game going 41-40. Bills win. I picked the Bills to win, so I'll take that. And then the other one is Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons going 23-20. The Buccaneers win. I mean, you can't get any better than those two scores right there. Those were two pretty good games that happened on Sunday
yeah,
yesterday.
They were.
The other win is the Denver Broncos Tennessee Titans game. I picked the Broncos to beat the Titans. Broncos beat the Titans 20-12. Not very good showing for Cam Ward and the Titans, unfortunately, but hopefully they got better days ahead of them. And especially for my Lions, I hope they have better days than what they had yesterday with picking them, and then they lose to the Packers.
Yeah, it was a
27.
It was a good day for 13. Good day for Green Bay fans there.
Yes, it was, but not for Lions fans. No. No.
Nope.
No. And then Michigan all around, not a great weekend. Losing to Oklahoma Sooners 24-13 with my other loss going 3-2, rounding it out there.
Yeah, I think because we pretty much almost had the same top fives that we were picking for the week. I went 3-2 as well. My losses, well, one was because it was yours from last week, and I forgot. Later on, I had to do some pushes on my bets because I forgot some of my bets were Monday night games. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to push that one. So. But the 5 I had the Iowa State game. I had picked Iowa State to win that one. It's what I kind of expected to happen. It's why I put it on my don't bet on it. It was a 16-13 barn burner for that one. So Iowa State pulls it off. But yeah, it was a boring game, which is what was expected out of that. I had the Michigan Oklahoma game. Michigan did not look good. We'll get in more into that later. But I had Michigan, which I in my heart. I wanted Michigan, but my brain was telling me to go with Oklahoma. So I should have, but I went with Michigan. So there's a loss. I had the TCU-UNC game. I don't know why I chose UNC because that was a terrible pick.
Terrible pick. I picked UNC too, buddy. It's okay.
Yeah. Old Bill's not adjusting to the college lifestyle here. So.
Not like we thought.
So yeah, that's So that was a loss. And then my other two wins I had, like you, I had Detroit and Green Bay. But I had Green Bay instead of Detroit, so that was a good win for me. And then the Baltimore-Buffalo game, which was pretty much the game of the year already, which came down to the last-second field goal kick and a comeback for Buffalo to give me my win. So then that was my other win. So out of my 5, I went 3-2 on that one from this past week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good weekend for both of us, at least. Like, I'll expect us to go 5-0 here pretty soon with our pick top 5, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, the actual top 5 games, there was probably like 6 total games that
there
was pretty
so
much
many
should
good
have just
games
been in
this past weekend. I mean, and, I didn't could yeah. fit all of them in. I just wanted to at least include the two that I picked into the actual top 5. That way I could kind of give them, you know, their credit that's due and obviously give the player of the game to, you know, because Josh Allen played his butt off.
Yeah, he did.
394 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. Obviously, going to be player of the game for that game.
And the majority of it came like in the fourth quarter, too. It was crazy. He just went off in the fourth. It seemed like it was a Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson show most of the game.
Yeah, it was. Like, it was like looking like they were going to like just take you know, the win and just run with it. But no, Josh Allen wasn't going to let it happen. And he just flipped the switch and just turned it on in the fourth quarter. And it was crazy.
And yeah.
It's why I stayed up last night and slept in early this morning.
I mean, same. No, like it was, I already had my actual top five games set. And then I was like, well, crap. No, this game is literally like the game of the year. I'm just going to put it in my honorable mention because I know you're going to put it in your top five. I have a different top five, but it's still in my honorable mention for top five games because I just wanted to give a little bit more love to some other teams that maybe not have been in there.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You can only make room for five. So, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-Falcons game also being up in there, I'd given player of the game to Baker Mayfield, 167 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns. That's a really good showing out for Baker Mayfield. And I have him on one of my actual fantasy football teams. So
I definitely did good for you.
I like that very much.
Yeah, that Bucks-Falcons game is crazy. It's also on my top five. I chose Emeka Egbuka as my player of the game just because it was his first game as a pro. Yep. He had the tying touchdown, then he had the game-winning touchdown. So he finished with like 4 catches, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Awesome game for him. It was just a cool game at the end because it was just like Falcons down on the 1-yard line. Like they got like 8 chances. Penix had to pull a diving first down like he did when he was at the Indiana against Penn State. It was like identical to how he dove to get the first down. So it was pretty cool. And then, Baker Mayfield just drives down to win the game at the end. And then Falcons missed the field goal at the end. So it was a very exciting game. So that was definitely – I think that put that as like my number two-ish, two or three as my top games.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is like it's really three because – my top game from this weekend really goes to the Baylor Bears SMU Mustangs game going into double overtime, 48-45. That was a battle for both teams. Obviously I think we agree on player of the game going to Sawyer Robertson. Sawyer. Yeah.
Yep.
440 pass yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Like that is just, that is just crazy.
I had them in my top five as well. The game eerily reminded me of the Buffalo Bills Ravens game because Baylor was down like 14 points or something like that.
Yep.
With only like 6 minutes left and they came back and won. Well, they came back to tie and then they won, like you said, in double overtime. But again, this was at SMU. So it wasn't like, I mean, they're pretty close to each other. But still, you're playing at the other team, top 25 home stadium, and you come back from down 14 with 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left, send it to double overtime and win it. So, yeah, it was an awesome – that was one of the most exciting of the college football games. And there was a few of them that were actually pretty good. There's a couple more that are in my top five.
I mean, yeah, so the other two to just round out my top five here, I've got the Steelers-Jets game. Steelers beating the Jets 34-32. Yeah, that was a really good game, really good showing out by Aaron Rodgers. Like,
Dark Knight's back.
Yeah, I did not expect that to happen. Like, he's getting player of the game with 244 pass yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Like, I think this is what the Jets were expecting their game 1-of-1 with him. But obviously, he injures his ankle and sits out for the rest of the season. So, sorry, Jets. But it seems like the Steelers waited just enough time for this guy to, you know, just do some damage.
I mean, it's unfortunately these poverty teams, the New York teams, the Jets and the Giants. They keep getting good quarterbacks, can't do anything with them. They move on to another team and they ball out like the Giants with Daniel Jones, who balls out with the Colts the first game. But no, this game was exciting because Jets were winning most of the game. Then the Steelers came back, and then the Jets came back, and the Steelers came back. It was just back and forth, especially in the third and fourth quarter. It was just – it was fun football to watch.
It was, like, especially when they kept turning back to it because, obviously, I was watching it through Red Zone because I was watching Red Zone for a while, and every time they turned back to them, all right, don't turn away from this. Like, just keep it here. And then coming in at number five, I've got the Iowa State-Iowa game, 16-13. I know it wasn't, you know, the pop that everybody was expecting from these two teams, but I'm giving player of the game to the Iowa State defense. They get 1 interception and 2 fumble recoveries. Like, that alone just tells you it was a pretty good defensive game between the two teams, which is kind of what you expect. And like it just delivered on what it was trying to sell in my mind, because the Iowa-Iowa State game never really sells you on this is going to be a barn burner shootout game.
Yeah, high scoring. No,
like
that's not going to be.
Like it's always going to be a defensive game, and that's what I expected. So that's why I'm putting it up there in my top five.
No, yeah, I would have put them in there, but there was too many for me. I was just like, I got to give some love, especially to like my next one. Unfortunately, yep. For your broadcasting. We got USF taking down Florida 18-16 in the swamp. So that was – no one saw this one come up. So it all started with the Jalen Carter spit on a Florida player, gets them drive going and keeps it going. They go down and win the game on Martin Dramatica's son, the extra leg. But, yeah, that was a crazy game. It was really the only big upset of the week. So yep. The quarterback, Byron Bram, he balled out. He 23 for 36, 263 in the air with one touchdown and 66 yards rushing. I mean, not what I would have expected from like a smaller D1 school to go into the swamp and do.
Yeah, it was definitely unexpected from the Florida side, because that obviously I have honorable mention going to the Ole Miss-Kentucky game. Ole Miss beats Kentucky 30-23. It was a really well-fought game between the two teams. Like, it was back and forth the whole game. And then, yeah, my pick upset of the week hits. Mississippi State beats number 12 Arizona State 24-20. And then, yeah, this gets the actual upset of the week. So
yep, it does.
You know, this is how my list kind of goes every time we go through this. And so I'm giving the actual upset of the week to South Florida beating Florida 18-16. Cause yeah, nobody was expecting that to happen. Like Florida is like just expected to win, to go 2-0, start 2-0, and then go into Baton Rouge and play LSU with a good, 2-0 team. That's
good start. Yeah.
Had a good start to their season. Now they don't have that. Nah. This is going to be a hard, tough test now for Billy Napier.
I mean,
believe his seat is very scalding hot right now. I don't know. He's got LSU and then Miami and then a bye week. So I don't see anything happening at least until that bye week. If I have to speculate. So yeah, he's got to turn around pretty quickly against two very tough teams.
No one saw this one. This is the biggest upset of the year so far. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can turn it around for them. Luckily, it's not a conference game, so it doesn't hurt their conference record and their chance at the SEC. But it doesn't look good as a program to lose to USF. So,
yeah.
Now my predicted upset week, I had Boston College over Michigan State, which I lost by 2 points. But Boston College almost did it, but it ended up being my last actual top five games of the week, because they ended up going to double overtime with Michigan State winning 42-40 on their 2-point conversion. Aiden Chile's balled out for Michigan State. He had 231 passing with 4 touchdowns, added another one on the ground. They look good against Boston College, but I really thought I was going to hit that upset. Back to back weeks with an upset. Like I said, my honorable mention was the Bills Ravens, but I went ahead and put like an honorable mention upset. I had University of Ohio beating West Virginia 17-10, which was pretty cool.
There you go.
West Virginia is usually a pretty good football school, and yeah, Ohio, the Mac taking out
the Maction
taking out West Virginia, which was another somewhat upset of the week.
Yeah, I believe that definitely gets an actual upset of the week vote as well. That definitely checks out. That counts.
You gotta gotta give some love to the Mac Nation. I know, because I was like, I gotta find something else to put in this upset, because I know it was clearly gonna be South Florida upsetting Florida. So let's give a love to someone small that had a good upset win.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good upset win to have, especially for a team like that. All right.
Yep.
And with that, we move on to the NFL fantasy.
Oh boy.
Competition between me and Kyle. All right, so
it was an interesting week one.
Yeah, give us the laydown of how your team did week one there, Kyle, and I'll come in right after you.
All right. So for my two teams, I'm just going to go over two teams, the quarterbacks I had. So I had Tua and Josh Allen. Obviously, Josh Allen was going to be my player for my keeper for this week because he ended up with 42.7 points.
Good Lord.
Other than that, 42 points. Other than that, I did not have a good week. It's the only reason why I beat you is because I had 40 points from Josh Allen. So my running backs, I had Kyren Williams and Alvin Kamara. They were about equal. Kyren Williams ended up with 13 points, so it was like a point more than Kamara. So I got 13 points from Kyren Williams. I had the sleeping dud of A.J. Brown, who did nothing against the Eagles. And then I had Tyreek Hill, who really didn't do much better. He got me 6 points, but points are points. My other wide receiver, I had Davante Adams and Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. scored a touchdown, so he got me 8.5 points. And then my tight ends, I don't know why I keep choosing the Monday night teams, but I did. I had Colson Loveland.
Stay away from Monday night, Kyle.
I got to remember Monday night. So I had Colson Loveland, but luckily Tucker Kraft did get a touchdown. I don't think Colson Loveland. It doesn't really matter at this point since I already got points. So I mean, I'm just going ahead and mark in. I'm marking Loveland in Tucker
for another week at the end of the day. Like we agreed.
Yeah, so Tucker Kraft locks me in. Yeah, he got 8.9 points, so I'll just lock in Tucker. My flex, I had Ladd McConkey or Dave Montgomery. Ladd McConkey got me 10.4 points, so he was my lock in. My defense both got 7 points, so I just went ahead and chose my first one. I had Cincy in New England. Cincy was my first pick. They got me 7 points. My kicker was on IR, my first one of Tyler Bass, so that was fun. Luckily all I wanted was the Green Bay kicker to come out on top so I could just pull the Brandon McManus getting 9 points again.
Just pull out the McManus. I mean, McManus. Yeah. I mean.
The that guy. I'm about to change my team. The team McManus. My team, it totaled 105.9 points for the week. So solid play. And I get to keep Josh Allen for next week since he was. I got to feel bummed. I got to keep Josh Allen on one of my teams next week. That sucks.
Well, I was thinking, so the way we would keep them, you keep them on your Tony Silver's team, right? And then
it would go to the first team. That he was on.
Yeah, and I would be keeping Jordan Love on the Sarcastables. Jordan Love being the quarterback that, you know, is my keeper, scores 19.9. You know, Bo Nix didn't even do anything. It was crazy. Like, he scored maybe 8 points, like,
yeah,
and like that was just like, okay. And then running back, Chuba Hubbard, Jalen Warren. Chuba Hubbard gets 16.4 points, so he's, you know, giving me that best ball. And then Drake London, DK Metcalf. DK actually outscored Drake by like a point and a half. Like Drake got like, I think, 9.6, but DK came out on top with 10.3. And then Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Olave scores more with 8.9. Tight ends, Trey McBride, Kate Otten. Trey McBride scores more with 9.1. I can't remember what Cade scored, to be honest, off the top of my head. And then going into the flex position, Nick Chubb, Xavier Leggett. Nick Chubb gets 6 points, outscoring Xavier there. And then obviously Baltimore, Washington for defense. Washington completely just outscores Baltimore. Washington gets 10 points. Baltimore only got -2. I mean, with that kind of showing against Buffalo is not great. And then between my two kickers, Jake Moody and Matt Gay, I'm eliminating Matt Gay or at least taking Matt Gay's points with 3. Jake only got like 1.5 with only like 1 field goal, which is kind of surprising from San Francisco. Totaling it out to 83.6 points. So yeah, Kyle beats me 105.9 to 83.6 after week one. Going over the eliminators again, my eliminated players from week one is Hubbard, Metcalf, Olave, McBride, Chubb, and the Washington defense and Matt Gay.
Yeah, my eliminated players now are Kyren Williams, Tyreek Hill, Brian Thomas Jr., Tyler Kraft, Ladd McConkey, the Cincy defense, and unfortunately, the legend himself, Brandon McManus. But again, I get to keep Josh Allen at least for another week. So what I was thinking for week, I don't know if it was mentioned already, as we draft for each week, me and you can't have the same player.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I already knew that. Just making sure
before we continue.
Yeah, we're never gonna have the same player at least like within a week or so of each other. Yeah, so I'm just getting through the highlighting of all of our players real quick and just deleting everything and just leaving Josh there, and we'll get rolling into our next draft. What I think we should do for this, Kyle, just for the sake of clarity and making sure everything is just, you know, hunky-dory, I guess, if you will. What am I trying to say? For this draft, let's do the Sarcastaballs against Tony Silver's team, right? And then we'll do Nib High Football versus the Taco Truck Sticks. That way we both already have our QBs and we're just drafting everybody else. And then we'll do a full team for the second draft. Fair?
All right, say that again.
So for this first draft, or we can do a second draft. Either way, I think we should draft to where I'm drafting for the Sarcastaballs because I'm keeping Jordan Love for my QB. While you draft for Tony Silver's team because you're keeping Josh Allen. That could be either the first draft or the second draft. And, you know, obviously we'll do a full team the other way.
Yeah.
Like where I'm picking for Taco Truck Sticks and you're picking for Nib High Football.
Okay, so you're just saying, like, instead of doing Tony Silver's versus Taco Truck, we're going to do the Sarcastaballs.
Yeah, I think wherever our keepers are, we should keep those two teams first. Yeah, we should do the two, you know, teams that keep the keepers draft against those each first. Other. And yeah,
draft
yeah.
them first.
Okay, we'll draft those first.
Yeah,
then.
That works.
Okay.
So then, well, we don't need a quarterback for the first round. Flip that coin. Tails.
It is heads.
Oh no, Alex goes first again.
Again. All right.
Here we are on the board for running backs.
As he slowly walks up to the podium yet again.
Yep, yeah, he's got to slowly get up to the podium here.
They've already played the pick bell. What the heck? What the heck is going on? Ugh. All right, I am going to go with... Good Lord.
Oh, the picks, the piece. Thinking about the picks as he's walking up with it.
Just thinking about it.
They're not there
yet. Trying to make sure he doesn't make the... I mean, obviously, I kind of want to do it. Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs with Jordan. Oh, come on. Type. Give me Josh Jacobs as my running back.
Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
All right. So now it's Tony Silver's team with a running back. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to go right back on it and take a big boy first. I like the matchup. And I love the team he's playing. And I feel like I can't really say he's going to have a bounce back game because he had an unbelievable game just with one mistake. Give me Derrick Henry.
Okay.
I'll get him off my team early.
King Henry.
I love the matchup against Cleveland.
I spelled it Henry. Henry. Itchy.
Henry.
Whoops. All right. First wideouts. Ooh. Yeah, let's go this route. I like this guy. Give me Emeka Buka.
He's going back to back. Big Mecca. Ugbuka.
Big Mecca.
You know what? We're about to just make this team straight up ball out this week.
We're getting risky now. We were so conservative on week one. We're just like, week two. Who cares?
I needed the next week to get along. I got to see how they go first because. What I like to do with these guys are I don't see them having back to back duds. So, that being in mind, let's just load up team one. We're going to take the great Jamar Chase against Jacksonville.
Okay. Jamar.
I think he's going to have a big game. He kind of had a quiet one week one, so that whole offense did, so.
Yeah, they did have quite a quiet week. It was kind of surprising.
Very quiet week.
Kind of surprising,
yeah.
Especially
Cleveland.
Be against Cleveland.
Yeah, and Cleveland outplayed them, too. They got lucky.
It was definitely interesting. All right. Still stacking these teams. I'm going to take Keenan Allen.
On Keenan Allen.
I really liked how he turned out week one. I have him on a bench on at least two of my teams, and I feel like I should have started him. Like, I was like, whoa, okay.
I like it. All right, now I'm going to go a little sketchy here a little bit.
A little sketchy?
I don't know if it's really sketchy, but... I watched a lot of their game before their delay, and he seemed to like him a lot. As long as the quarterback can actually throw the ball this week, and I think he can against this team, has not as good defense, we're going to go with the Carolina Panthers rookie, Teddaroya McMillan.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to search that name, make sure I spell that right. McMillan.
Yep, because even in a blowout loss against Jacksonville, he had 9 targets, caught 5 of them, had like 70 yards. So he does like to throw into him, and McMillan looked good, so let's go with him.
All right. Yeah, I'm literally trying to spell his first name because I was like, I'm glad I went to try and spell his last name first than his first name. Good Lord, I would have botched that. Oh, boy. All right, on to the tight ends. Let's go. All right, give me back my tight ends, please. Thank you. Okay. Oh, because I went a pretty big name last week. Let's go. I really want to pick him, but... there's also the chance of that not happening. Yeah, I feel good about this one. All right, let me get Hunter Henry from the New England Patriots.
Hunter Henry. All right. We're going to go right back to the well here. A... guy that everyone thinks is going to be a tight end, top 5 every year. And he always fails. But he's had a decent week 1, so we'll just go with him for week 2. Give me Kyle Pitts for Atlanta playing Minnesota. He had a decent week 1, pretty good outing.
Very nice, very nice. All right, the flex position. Oh, boy.
He's going into the flex.
I want to go for a good player this time, but I don't want to like eliminate a good RB1 at the same time. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Oh. Yeah, let me get Bucky Irving from Tampa Bay.
Going old Bucky. That's a good pick. Bucky's a good player.
Yeah, but I feel like it's too good to where I am eliminating him. It's like,
Well, you might not. Maybe your other flex will do better, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Because I picked some good players there to start, I am going to go a little curveball. Two players on his team had some big injuries this week and are going to be out for a little bit, that being George Kittle and Juwan Jennings. So give me their only target besides Christian McCaffrey, Ricky Pearsall. For the 49ers. Yep, he had over 100 yards this week in week 1, and I have a feeling he's going to be targeted heavily again with the 2 injuries to the team.
Oh, yeah, he definitely will be. That's for sure. All right, defense and special teams. I'm going to take the LA Rams defense on special teams.
Going with the Rams at Tennessee.
Yep.
Let's go with a big name. Bad week one because they had to play a really good team. Playing the Cleveland Browns this week at home with a bounce back game. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. Delayed reaction from the Bel Air.
Delayed reactions here.
Delayed reactions here.
The pick is in. The pick is in.
The pick is in. Let's see here. Who do we want to go with? Kicker.
You know, there's a big name kicking on Thursday night.
There is a big name kicking on Thursday night. But I don't really want to pick him. I want to pick him later in the season. Give him a shout out later in the season. I'm gonna go with Jake Elliott.
Jake, the Snake Elliott. All right, so with my kicker, we're just gonna go with a game I think is gonna be close, and it might not be too high scoring. Maybe. Give me the Chiefs kicker. The woman hater himself, Harrison Butker. I'm just kidding, Harrison.
I'm just kidding, Harrison. Don't come for me.
Yeah, don't kill me.
All right, so to lay it all down yet again. So, for the Sarcastaballs, starting with the keeper, Jordan Love, I take Josh Jacobs as running back, Emeka Ogbuka as my first wideout, Keenan Allen as my second wideout, Hunter Henry as my tight end, Bucky Irving as my flex, the LA Rams defense, and Jake Elliott for my kicker.
It's not bad. It's not too bad. Now we got Tony Silver's team at quarterback. The great Josh Allen. Running back, King Henry himself. Wide receiver one, we have Jamar Chase. Wide receiver two, we're going with Teteroy and McMillan. At tight end, we've got the great Kyle Pitts. Flex, Ricky Pearsall for the 49ers. Defense special teams, we got the Baltimore Ravens, and our kicker is Bucker Harrison.
Very nice. All right, on to draft two. So you get to start it this time, Kyle, with the QB position.
We're going with the guy that people love to chant his name, especially in the other screen. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
I'm having a bounce back game at home.
You know what? I'm just going for it. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So yeah, just give me the guy. Get it out of the way. Aaron, Aaron Rodgers, please. I'll just good pick. You know, because yeah, Kyle just took my guy. Kyle just took the guy I really wanted for a week.
I know. And I was like, I had a feeling you were gonna want him.
I'll just go the complete opposite way this time. Just go.
I had a feeling you were gonna want him.
Just go down the road. Just turn 180. Well, see, go down the road.
If you had gotten him before me, there was two people I really wanted. I wanted either Jared Goff or Jahmyr Gibbs. One of the two I wanted for this week.
All right. So running back. You gonna take him?
I'll give you Gibbs. You can have Gibbs. Nah, I don't need him this early. Who do I really want this week? I don't want to go heavy again, but
I know who I want if I can get him. If he's still sitting there.
You know what? Let's go with, because I took the running back or the wide receiver who was balling out. I might as well take this running back before he gets hurt at some point. Give me CMC. Give me Christian McCaffrey. He had an awesome game week one.
CMC. Yeah, I'm no just touchdowns, but CMC. We all know who that is.
No touchdowns this last week, but he looked like original Christian McCaffrey with like 10 catches and 80 yards rushing, and he looked like himself.
Yeah. There's the bell. There it is. All right. My pick is in.
The pick is in again. The pick is in again.
The pick is in yet again. All right. I'm going with James Cook from the Buffalo Bills. I really liked how he played.
He had a really good game.
So I'm going to go with that guy. That guy.
All right. And you already know where I'm going with this one.
Wide receiver.
You can just already put him in because I like to match him up with a comeback game. Go ahead. Put him in, Alex.
I don't know who you're talking about, honestly.
We're matching him up with Jared Goff here. So
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Let's just take the sun god. Let's have him have the score with Jared.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. All right. I like that matchup. I like that. All right. I'm going to go with AR's number one wideout target, Calvin Austin.
Yep, he had a good game. All right. Wide receiver two. We are going to go with the once great Ohio State wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., playing Carolina at home. He had a good week one. 70 yards and a touchdown.
Starving Marvin.
Starving Marvin. Put him in.
Put him in. All right. With my wideout two pick, I'm going to go with CD Lamb.
Okay, CD. I think he's going to have another bounce back game too.
I think he's going to have
getting a lot of hate for the drops. Yep. Yeah. Getting a lot of hate for all the drops, so I do think he's going to have a big game.
All right. Tight end, Kyle.
All right. For my tight end, we're going to go with a rookie tight end that actually had a really good game in week one. He had 9 total targets. He had 63 yards. He hasn't played yet. No, not that one. This is another one. He was one of my sleeper tight ends that I said that he could have a good year. Well, I promise he has a decent tight end in front of him. I'm taking Cleveland's tight end, Harold Fannin.
Harold.
F-A-N-N-I-N Fannin.
Oh, come on. Why are you not typing for me? Fannin.
F-f-f-f-Fannin.
Okay. I'm going to go with... This is tough, man.
Yeah, it starts to get hard at the end.
Especially when you get to come to tight ends, because there's not very many that score high and stay there. And then if you get them for the wrong week.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Noah Fant.
Noah Fant. I like it.
I agree with you. I think the Bengals will have a better bounce back game, and he'll probably get some good points.
Yep, I do like them having a bounce back game. All right, so now with my flex. He had an okay week one. Wasn't something to go crazy about. Being at home now for this week against Tampa Bay, I'm going to take the Houston Texans running back who you took last week, Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Yep, I think he could have a decent game this week. He looked okay. He had like 60 yards on 13 carries, but I think he should get a little bit more. I think they're just warming him up, so I'm going to take him as my flex.
I like it. I like it. All right, so for my flex, I'm going to dig a little bit. That way I'm not messing myself up here. I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins.
And DeAndre with that awesome catch in that game, too. He looked good. All right. Moving on to kickers here. We are going to take the 70-yard field goal man himself from Jacksonville Jaguars, Cam Little. The pick was in.
That was your kicker?
Yeah, Cam Little.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I was trying to figure out who I was going to pick. But obviously got distracted. All right, so kicker, because I was looking at defense and special teams.
Oh, yeah, we did forget about the defense, didn't we?
Well, it's okay. You can still pick it. It doesn't matter which way we go. You can pick kicker first. It's a
special team, whatever. It's special teams.
Yeah. It literally can go either way. You pick kicker first and then special teams, or pick special teams first and then the kicker. I'll just, you know, follow in suit and try to pick a kicker when you pick a kicker. And I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Matt Prater.
Matt Prater. He's going with the game-winning field goal man himself.
Yep. All right, defense and special teams.
Defense. We're just going to go who I think could have a good game. Because I think the quarterback is going to throw some interceptions at some point here. We're going to go with the Denver Broncos playing the Indianapolis Colts. Danny Dimes is going to have to throw some picks. So we're going with Denver.
All right. I'm going to go with team that just blew everybody out of the water, including Miami, Indianapolis Colts.
Now he's going with the Colts this week.
Well, it was pretty surprising because I picked the Dolphins to win in my singles.
Yeah, I lost a couple bets on that.
So, all right.
I lost quite a few bets from that dang game.
So, reviewing our two teams from this draft, Kyle, with your Nib-High football, since you had to pick first.
Nib-High football, here we go. At quarterback, we've got Jared Goff, the legend himself. Running back, we have Christian McCaffrey. At wide receiver one, we have the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Wide receiver two, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. At tight end, the rookie Harold Fannin for the Browns. Ex-Brown at my flex, Nick Chubb. My defense special teams, we got the Denver Broncos taking on the Colts. And then kicker, we got the 70-yard field goal man, Cam Little.
All right. And then for my taco truck sticks, at QB, running yet again with Aaron Rodgers. And then running back is James Cook. Wide receiver, Calvin Austin. Second wideout is CeeDee Lamb. Tight end is Noah Fant. Going into the flex position is DeAndre Hopkins. Defense and special teams is Indianapolis. And then for my kicker, I am taking Matt Prater.
Week two now begins. Well, week hold on. Time out. Before we do this.
Yeah.
Did I take... Who's Monday Night Football?
It's... you got Minnesota. No. You got Atlanta.
There's two, isn't there?
There's two. There is two.
Monday night is Tampa. Oh, my God. I already got two on there.
Ha.
I don't have any Chargers Raiders. I do have.
Yeah, I have Amika Buka in one. So I got to redo Amika.
Dang it. Who did I have? Who was my other one? I had Chubb, I think, was my.
And I've got Keenan Allen. Oh, no. And Bucky Irving. Oh, my gosh. My whole sarcastic balls.
You chose all the way too many Monday nights.
I took too many.
I think all I have is Nick Chubb at my flex, so I'll just have to sub him out. Let's see.
Ig. Do over.
do-over for the couple picks there. Technical difficulties. The picks were in, but they were incorrect picks.
Because they can't take Monday night games. Oh, that's fun. Do 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 do. Good Lord. All right, so you have to avoid four teams.
Yeah, this one was a tough one.
That's fun.
You know what? Here, I'll make this one easy for you because I don't know if I'll take him again later on. Out my Nick Chubb pick, and I'm just going to take Arizona's running back, James Conner.
James Conner. Can do.
And that'll solve my issue.
All right, so I have to solve three issues. I got more to deal with. Great.
He chose a bunch on there.
I chose a bunch. So to replace Mika Buka, let's go with let's go with Debo Samuel.
Debo. Going with Debo.
And then let's see here. Hunter's not part of it, is he? I can't remember what team he was for. I just put his name in. No, that's New England. All right, we're good. Okay, so my tight end, Buckley Irving, has to be replaced, or my flex, I should say. Because Bucky is a running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you have Bucky you got to replace, and then Keenan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should probably replace Keenan first. Oh, my goodness, I had to replace both my wideouts.
Both wideouts had to be gone.
Both wideouts and the flex.
I think we went back to see who's on Monday night.
Yeah. Let's go with Cortland Sutton. Try to make this quick. And then for my flex, I'm going to go... Oh boy. I'm gonna go with Chase Brown for my flex. I like that. I'll take that.
Taking a big name.
I mean, I don't know. I got to replace him. I'm just like...
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's go for it. See what happens. I mean, I think that's going to have to force us to take some bigger names, too. Like, when you can't take a Monday night, and you might have to go for that bigger name, because then they might have that especially next Monday night, and you can't take them next week. And
especially when you have two Monday night games.
Yeah. Might as well just go for it when they have a Sunday game. Or a Thursday night game. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, yeah.
Picks are in.
Kyle leads 105.9 to 83.6.
So, Kyle's 1-0.
So far.
Well, remember, we have three different ways.
It's just points. We're not doing win-loss.
No, we said we were going to do a three-way.
Oh, yeah.
Three categories. It was win-loss, points, and then there was going to be a tiebreaker. We'll figure out if it comes down to a tiebreaker.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We'll cross that road eventually.
We got 17 weeks.
We got a few weeks. Well, 14, actually.
Well, yeah, 14 weeks left.
Because, yeah, we play 15, and then it's all over. So, yeah.
Then it's all done.
I'm going to just do that separate then. That's a good idea. Make that a box.
What's in the box?
Oh, come on. Type, will you?
And one thing that we could always do, if we had to say you won the win-loss record, I won the total points, the tiebreaker could be who scored the most in 1 week.
Yeah. I like that.
There you go.
I like that.
Yep. So we have three little categories to go off of.
Yeah. Tiebreakers, most points in 1 week.
Yep.
I really do like that. That sounds fair enough to me. All right, I'm just pasting that same little scoreboard into each of our little, you know, with the NHL and NFL coming up. I can't wait, man. All right.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot to go over.
Back to it. All right, upcoming week to look forward to now.
We got a bunch of big games in college this week, finally. It's kind of like a week off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got at least three of them in my top five games to watch. Same.
I'm pretty sure we probably have the exact same upcoming games. Let me look at yours.
At least three.
We have both of the footballs, the NFLs.
Yeah.
And then one. So we have one different.
Just one different. All right. What's the one different?
All right. So I'll just go over them real quickly. So we both have number 4 Georgia going into Knoxville to play number 22 Tennessee.
Yep.
The next one we both have, we have 19 Texas A&M going into South Bend to play number 9 Notre Dame.
Yep.
We also have in the NFL, we have the Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl matchup rematch.
Yep.
And then we have Thursday Night Football this week, Commanders at home or Commanders on the road at Lambeau against the Packers.
Yep, totally agree.
And then, so the only ones that we have different is I had previously ranked 13 Florida versus number 3 LSU as my last game, but it's now unranked Florida versus number 3 LSU.
I don't know about that game anymore. I wouldn't even put that anywhere close to being my top five games to watch.
It's a big SEC game,
to say the least, but I don't know, man. Like, it's an eerie feeling from Gainesville, to be honest. And if they go in and they play like they just did against South Florida, they're just going to get obliterated, and it's not going to be pretty.
That's fair.
If they have a good bounce-back game and they play well in Baton Rouge, it's going to be a good game. They're going to probably put up a fight at the end of the day, but I just don't really see in it. I just see that LSU is just going to take the home field advantage to Florida, and Florida's not going to know which way is up at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a good game, but I guess we'll see. Hopefully they'll have a bounce back.
The one different out of all those, mine is the Miami versus South Florida game. Both teams are ranked. South Florida is graciously ranked number 18 right now, and I believe they deserve that after being both Boise State and Florida. Obviously, they're the top team outside of the Power Four, kind of like in that driver's seat to make that 12th seed, you know, essentially right now, if, you know, the college football playoff just magically came out today, which it definitely wouldn't after 2 weeks. But still, I think they have something going. Obviously, it's going to be in Miami, but I have a good feeling about the Bulls. Like, I'm picking them to win.
But is that
game,
actually?
To be
I mean,
honest.
Think
like,
about it. Is that actually a home game for Miami? They're both South Florida.
Well, South Florida is actually in Tampa Bay, and then Miami's actually in Miami.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a travel, but
it's still a bit of a travel.
They'll travel there. They'll still travel for that game.
Yeah, so. South Florida. Yeah, it's kind of weird. South Florida's in Tampa, and then UCF Central Florida's in.
Yeah, Central Florida's down
in Orlando. And then Miami's all the way down to Miami. And then you have Florida and Gainesville. And then Florida State and Tallahassee.
And you got FAU.
And then you got FAU and FIU and all the other
FIU and all of them.
All of them.
All right. So
it's just a base.
So who are you taking in your South Florida game?
I'm taking South Florida to win. Nice. Is it okay if I take that and take it as my upset prediction? I do have an upset prediction.
Yeah, you can double whammy
it. Okay. I can double whammy it. I'm taking my upset prediction that I had in there. I just wanted to make sure you were cool with it before that.
No, remember, I took Florida State and Alabama in two different categories.
I know.
One for Alabama to win and one Florida State to win.
Well, I swear this is still an upset, you know, prediction too. So
I know it is. That's definitely an upset. I don't see South Florida beating Miami, so it's definitely an upset if that happens.
So yeah, I'm picking South Florida to beat Miami. I've got Georgia to beat Tennessee. I've got Notre Dame to beat Texas A&M. I've got the Commanders to beat the Packers, and then the Chiefs to beat the Eagles.
All right, so we're pretty much almost the same. I have the LSU Florida LSU game. I have LSU because it's at home. I don't think Florida can have a bounce back there. I'm also taking Georgia versus Tennessee, but I think that game's going to be closer than what people think. Tennessee's been able to put up points this year, so I do think being at home is going to help, and it's going to be a closer game than what people think. But I'm still taking Georgia. I'm taking Notre Dame for a comeback here. They need a big win. This is like their last chance for a really big, like, ranked win. So that I'm taking Notre Dame. I'm taking the Chiefs this week against the Eagles just because they're playing at home. And then I am taking the Packers over the Commanders. Packers look good. Their defense looked awesome. Jordan Love looks better than he did last year. So that's my pick. Yep, taking Packers.
All right. I like it. Should be a very good game.
Well, since you went over your upset, yeah, and I'll go over my upset. So this upset, I am taking the Arkansas Razorbacks over number 20, Ole Miss. That is my upset of the week.
Okay. I like that. I was actually looking at that to be an upset pick too.
Ole Miss struggled this past week, and Arkansas has looked pretty good this season. And they were hyped up as they could be a good team, and I think they are a good team. So I'm sticking with Arkansas to upset them there.
Okay, I like that. That's a very good pick. All right, moving on to gambling men, right?
Yeah, it's time to gamble.
Time to gamble. Time to say the words and make it be true, because you must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling, please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER. Don't rely on us. We are not professionals.
We're starting off slow this year.
Starting off slow. Just a little slow. But I've got some money back. I've won some money. Okay. Let's just say that.
I went three and two
on my singles again.
I finally hit a parlay, so that's all I got to say. I hit a parlay.
Hey, Kyle's hit a parlay. Let's go.
Now, my singles, technically, I went 2-2 because, again, not looking at the freaking schedule, I took the Monday night game. Yep. I chose the Monday night game, so I'm just giving myself 2-2, and I'm pushing that same pick to next week. So I'm just giving myself 2-2, and I'm pushing that pick to next week.
From
so
last
it'll
week?
Just be next week's. Yeah, because I had Chicago versus Minnesota.
Oh, that's
on my
right.
Straight.
I totally forgot about
that. That's tonight.
Yeah.
So, yep, I did two until I was going over. I was like, oh, man, I'll just push it to my straights for this week. So I went 2-2. I had Illinois -2.5 versus Duke. That was an easy smash. I took the Michigan versus Oklahoma over a 46.5. It could have hit if Michigan just played better. But they didn't, so there's an L there. I had the Chargers +3.5 versus Kansas City, which was a win. I actually had them beating Kansas City, so that was a good pick. And then my other loss was Buffalo -1.5 versus Baltimore instead of the money line on my straights.
Oof. Darn.
Yep.
Yeah, so
it's
my
2-2 this week, 8-9 overall.
Yeah, my singles with going 3-2. I had the Steelers money line, that won. Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Falcons. And then the San Francisco 49ers money line, they beat the Seattle Seahawks. Unfortunately, the Panthers lost, and then the Dolphins lost. So I go 3-2. Upcoming week, what I've got for my singles, I like the Cincinnati Bengals. I like their money line sitting at -180. I took that. Pittsburgh Steelers, again, their money line, that was sitting at -155. And then a surprising pick here, at least these next two, I've got the New England Patriots money line +110, and then the Kansas City Chiefs money line sitting at +100. Like I've just kind of smashed those. Like I like how they're gonna play this season. And I feel like both of them are going to have a good week two game. And then Denver Broncos money line sit at -135 to kind of round out all my top five singles there.
Okay. We kind of spread them out a little bit. We didn't really have any of the same. Mine, I'm taking the Chiefs -2 versus the Eagles. I think they're going to win by at least a field goal, probably about like a game-winning field goal or just up by three. So that was at -110. I'm pushing my Chicago bet to this week. So I have Chicago +1.5 versus Minnesota, which is -108. I am taking Detroit -4.5 versus the Bears at -110. I think, like I said earlier, I think Detroit's going to have that bounce back game this week. So I'm taking them at -4.5. I'm taking the Pittsburgh spread instead of the money line. I do think they're going to win by more than two. So I have them at -2.5 versus Seattle. That's at -115 odds. And then for a college one in there for you, I have the University of South Carolina. I'm taking their spread of -5.5 against Vanderbilt, which I think they're going to beat them by two scores. So that's at -110.
Nice. I like that. Going with college for honorable mention. My honorable mention is actually going to California. Their money line over Minnesota right now is sitting at +114. California is at home. Like, I don't understand why they're not favored. I guess it's just because Minnesota's supposed to be a better Big Ten team.
Yeah, Minnesota's look good this year. Yeah. But Big Ten teams don't travel to California well. So you could see that one hit.
Yeah. So I liked how that looked, especially with California being at home. All right, so same game parlay, nothing hit on my same game parlay. I don't want to even talk about it anymore from last week. So for this coming same game parlay, I took it was baseball, Kyle. So I went away from football for this one. I've got Cal Raleigh for Seattle Mariners to get two or more bases, sitting at -105. Brian Wu to get seven or more strikeouts, +100. And then Seattle Mariners money line sitting at -232. Grand total of +355. $5 will get me $22.
Okay. Going old baseball.
The
same game parlay is what hit for me this past weekend. So
nice.
For my past one, I had Josh Allen 2+ touchdowns, Derrick Henry an anytime touchdown, and then the one I had a sweat for was the Buffalo money line. So that one hit. So that was a +420 on mine. $10 got me $42. That put me to 1-3 for my same games. My this week's same game parlay, I'm taking the Bengals and Jags game. I'm taking the Bengals money line over the Jags at -175. Because player pops aren't really out just yet, I'm taking what they will probably be or in and around what the odds are going to be. Yeah. So with the Bengals money line, it was at -175. I have a Jamar Chase anytime touchdown at -125. And then a Joe Burrow 2+ passing touchdowns at -190. So with those three, that'll give me about a +332. And $10 gets you about $33.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. I like how that sounds. So with that, going into the anything goes parlay, I'm doing an anytime touchdown theme again. I went 2-1. Terry just didn't score a touchdown for me, unfortunately. They were scoring touchdowns left and right with the Commanders, and obviously it went to everybody but Terry for touchdowns. But I got the Saquon hit and the Bijan hit. It's just, you know, I just had one leg to go.
I did a fun one this weekend where I did like 12 anytime touchdown parlay and I hit 10 out of the 12.
Oh boy.
That would have been fun. It was DK and I forgot who else it was. I think Jamar was an easy one. DK and Jamar.
Yeah. So for the upcoming week for my anything goes parlay, Kyle, I'm gonna do the same thing. Three players, three touchdowns. I think I'm just going to do this until football ends. Like, I'm just going to try and bounce around names. Try not to do them, like, back-to-back weeks, you know. Try and do that kind of style. Like, I'll probably, you know, go back and visit Saquon and Bijan and Terry eventually. But, you know, obviously, I'm going to go with this week with CeeDee Lamb, anytime touchdown, Chase Brown, anytime touchdown, and a James Cook, anytime touchdown. CD sits at +105. Chase sits at -170. And then James Cook at -135. grand totaling at plus 466. $5 is going to pay out 28. So hopefully that one hits.
Yeah, I like those. Anytime touchdowns are just fun to do.
Yeah.
Last week I went 1-2 with a push for tonight's game because, again, it was the Chicago game. So I didn't even really care because I already lost the parlay, so it don't matter if I pushed it or not. I had New England minus 2.5 versus the Raiders that lost. I have Chicago tonight against Minnesota. Then I had the Chargers money line versus Kansas City, which hit, but lost the one, so I lost them all. This week I have Georgia Bulldogs versus Tennessee Volunteers. I'm taking the over of 15.5 points. It's a lot of points, but Tennessee has been putting up a lot of points, so I have a feeling this is going to be a high-scoring game. So that's at minus 108. I'm taking the Green Bay Packers minus 3.5 over Washington at minus 110. And I'm taking just straight-up Chiefs money line over Eagles at minus 105. So with those three, it gets you to a plus 617. So $10 gets you $61.
Okay, I like that. All right, don't bet on it. What's your don't bet on there, Kyle?
I didn't like the Falcons and Vikings game that's coming up. Like, I used to do, like, just don't bet the over-unders and stuff. I just don't like the bet on the Falcons-Vikings this week. I'm saying that now just because I haven't got to see JJ play. But it's basically glorified two rookies playing against each other. So it's going to be kind of hard to tell and how to bet on that kind of game yet until you kind of get a feel with how the two rookies play.
Yeah.
I say rookies, but you know what I mean. But it will be fun to watch because it's literally a rematch of the national championship game from 2 years ago with Michael Penix against J.J. McCarthy. So I don't want to bet on it. I'm not, unless you're just trying to hit some anytime touchdowns, but I don't know how the teams are going to play with the two rookies. So that's why I'm trying to avoid that one.
Okay. My don't bet on it is the Notre Dame Texas A&M outcome. I believe if you try to do the over under, I think it's going to be probably over, if anything, but I don't really want to touch it other than, you know, betting on what the outcome is. You can bet on players. I believe there's going to be some scores up in there and, you know, guys getting yards. So, yeah, that's my don't bet on.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I didn't want to touch that one either. It's, I don't know what Notre Dame game's gonna, or Notre Dame team's gonna show up, if they're gonna get upset, no, or they're just gonna blow them out. Yeah, that's gonna be a hard one to go for.
Yep. All right. Moving on to some Homeward Bound now. All right. Lines look terrible. That's all I got. All right. Wrap it up.
Nah, yeah. Lions need some work to do. They were like, they didn't look terrible. They moved the ball like well.
Ate everybody up. Yeah, that was crazy.
Green Bay's gonna be tough.
Addition for the Packers. Like, he's making the Packers defense look stacked.
Their defense is gonna be good because they don't have to play Parsons all the time. They can just keep throwing him in on third downs because they have a good. They have two other good edge rushers. They don't have to use them at all times. So,
yeah.
Lions, they look good. They just kept stalling out near the end, and they couldn't get time to throw the ball. And I was also kind of disappointed with Lions' defensive front. Like, with Aiden and them, they just were not getting pressure on Jordan Love pretty much almost the whole game. He had way too much time to throw for them, so they need to get They need to get more red zone flow going, and they need to get their defense back together and kind of, like, get back to work.
Yeah, because, like, that was kind of my thing is, like, the Packers, their defense looks stacked, and then their offensive line looks pretty stout to –
Yeah,
you know,
they gave him a lot of time.
Yeah, so
I think Packers will look good, but they look good, and it really just going to come down to Jordan Love now for the rest of the season. If he continues to progress the way he has, then they're going to be right up there with the Lions in this division who takes it.
Yeah, and along with that, the Panthers unfortunately take a hard loss to the Jags. I mean, that was not pretty at all.
Same game, different year, just. Let's just lose and let's get the first pick again next year.
All right.
Just don't look good.
Moving on to college. Other teams that are not looking good. The Wolverines did not look good against Oklahoma. I think they need a better game plan. Like, just overall offense.
Terrible game plan.
Redraw the book. Like, it's just you were trying to run it, then try to run it, and then a screen pass, and then you do run and then a screen pass and try running again, and you're four and out yet again. It's just like, can we try by, and go down the field? Yeah. Maybe once.
Yeah, by no means am I blaming. Did I think that they were going to really win this game? But they should have looked better. Jake Butt, one of the analysts in the Big Ten, he went over this game extensively on like the formations that Oklahoma was showing them, and they just weren't. The coaches weren't changing the calling according to the formation that they were showing. They were loading the box and sending like eight guys all at once on a zero coverage. And then you would just have one-on-one soft coverage on the outside. Just that's when you throw your screens, not when – like they would run the ball up the middle when it was a loaded box, and then when they had everyone covered on the outside in tight coverage, then they would try to throw a screen pass. Like they weren't – it just didn't make sense what they were doing. And, yeah, it was just run, punt. Run, punt. Like it was like they were trying too hard to be safe with Bryce Underwood instead of just letting him – do his thing, letting him learn from mistakes. Yep. They're trying to like protect. It was like they looked like they're trying to protect him too much. Like no, like barely any designed runs. It was just all boring handoffs and then little screen passes. And when they do throw deep, we make a play downfield. Like it didn't make sense. They have got to change the game plan. It was almost like it really felt like watching last year's Michigan team, where it's like they didn't trust the quarterback and they're just going to run the ball because they don't think they can throw the ball.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Take the handcuffs off and let him just ball out. He's gonna make mistakes. He just turned 18 years old. Bryce will make mistakes. That's fine. We have him for 3 years. Let him learn from it at least and move on. Like give him a chance. Not just I don't know what they're doing there. So they have a week to take. They have basically 1 week to fix it because then they have to go into Nebraska in 2 weeks, which is gonna be a tough game. So they got to get together.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, yeah, they definitely need to get things together and figure it out. And honestly, I'm interested in seeing what they say tonight in the show that I work. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Wolfpack wins a non-conference game against Virginia. Interesting enough, they declare it as a non-conference game. This is not the first time that they've done it, which is, I guess.
I saw that. Like, I didn't realize they counted this as a non-conference. Why is it a non-conference when it's
so,
an ACC
so
team?
They, well, the thing is they started this when the ACC grew, I guess, when Miami and Florida State and Clemson all joined. Like, because, you know, Virginia was already a part of it, and then Carolina and then NC State, Duke, and Wake Forest. What happened was is the Wolfpack and the Virginia Cavaliers would always play year in and year out. And they wanted to keep, I guess, their tradition of playing each other in football. And so they just decided to schedule a non-conference game, like back in 19, whatever it was. I don't know the year off the top of my head. I'm not going to say a year because apparently it was a long time ago. And it just kind of, you know, sparked a, you know, rivalry between them to play either in the conference or as a non-conference game, and they would still be able to play year in and year out. And then it kind of fizzled out like in the late 80s, early 90s, when non-conference games weren't really, you know, were kind of frowned upon of having those because, you know, everybody was starting to expect to play a conference team as a non-conference game, which not everybody liked that. But if at the end of the day, if it strengthens your schedule, go for it. Schedule them. It's okay if you have to schedule as a non-conference game, I guess, because yeah. I guess the number is 9. But if you ask me, if that's your number, that's the minimum you have to play. If you want to play 10 non-conference games, go for it. Or 10 conference games, call it a conference game and just have it be your 10th conference game. And now you have one more win than the rest of your conference. And they're just the ones sleeping at the end of the day, you know? So
I mean, yeah, I like it. It's just a conference game. Just make it a conference game then. If you don't want to have the extra record in as a conference game, then don't schedule them to begin with. Just go play a different FBS, like go play a different Power 5 team.
Well, the reason why they schedule is to keep their strength of schedule good. They didn't want to schedule a weaker team.
So Virginia, in their mind, is a great scheduling team to
I mean, I'm sure they were trying to go for, like, Florida or Michigan or Texas or somebody.
Well, not even that, but, like,
obviously
but it's
those teams wouldn't want to play them.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's we were talking about Virginia, though. It's just, like, just go
play
Northwestern. Go play Northwestern. Go play Northwestern. Go play Vanderbilt. Go play a smaller school of the power conference instead of your own conference and not counter conference win, because it's kind of silly.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I mean, NC State looked fine. Their offense looked much better this week than they did last week. They've got to do something about the defense, because their defense is – I was at the game. Their defense struggled all game. So if they want to – if they have hopes and dreams for this ACC, they got to get their defense together, because they couldn't stop anything this weekend.
Yeah. Well, it was probably a good challenge for them to be able to wake up and see that then. But and coming out with a win – for sure. Deke start the season 2-0 with a win against Western Carolina. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. they get to go 2-0. Old Gurry's team going down again.
Sorry,
but
Gurry.
Yeah. Sorry, Gurry. Now, Wake Forest, they haven't really played a tough team, but they're winning the games you're supposed to win. You can't remake your schedule. You just got to perform how you do when you see them. So their schedule's out. They won their two games pretty well. It's just, let's see how they do when they actually do have to play against top teams. I'm rooting for them. I like Wake Forest. I've always have. But hopefully they can play like this when they play in their big conference games.
Yeah. Keep them rolling, boys. All right. Also need to keep it rolling is the Tigers and winning. I need them to keep it rolling, because guess what? Tigers are playing the Yankees coming up here in a couple of days for a pretty good series. And the Yankees had a really good series win over Toronto recently to improve their playoff push.
Yep, they had a 2-1 series win over them, and they had just won, I think, like 3 out of 4 against the Astros or something like that. So, yeah, the Yankees are only like two and a half games back from Toronto now, so it's going to come down to the wire here this month.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially – getting closer and closer to the MLB postseason for us, because we'll have our picks and all that stuff for y'all when that gets here, and you know, obviously review what's going on with the MLB once it gets into the playoffs. I know baseball kind of fell off with football starting up, but you know, it's football, guys. You know, sometimes it takes the reins, even over our own beloved game of hockey.
Yep, it comes first. Football's got to come first. Hockey, we'll just talk about the Red Wings and Canes. But football's got to come first, unfortunately.
And then some more football, as in the other football, Wrexham. They move on to the third round of the EFL Caribou Cup with a 3-2 win over Preston. So hopefully they can move on to the fourth round and quarterfinals and semifinals, and then win the finals and win the whole thing, but we'll see. They got
get us the next new a really good season of Wrexham.
I know it should be good. All right, and with that wraps up our episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Tune in to Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasting. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Dobus.
Y'all have a good rest of your day and rest of your week.